This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Pacifica Housing and Nanaimo Affordable Housing Society, in partnership with Columbian Center and Haven Society, have been selected as the successful nonprofit providers to develop, manage, and operate two new supportive housing developments for those who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in Nanaimo. The announcement came from BC Housing on November 30th. Pacifica Housing will manage the politically charged low-barrier housing planned for 6025 Uplands Drive. The other three groups will co-manage a low-barrier development at 1612 Dufferin Crescent. The Uplands Drive project was opposed in the weeks leading up to recent municipal elections by a group called Concerned Citizens of Nanaimo. In the aftermath of the protest, group's failure to defeat city councillors who had been supportive of the planned social housing and the post-election announcement of the housing project operators, the mayor of Nanaimo has said he hopes there will be some peace on the issue. We're joined on the phone by Karen French, who is Executive Director of Pacifica Housing, and in the studio by Tom Grauman, Executive Director of Columbian Center, and Jim Spinelli, the Executive Director of Nanaimo Affordable Housing.
Karen French, Pacifica Housing believes in housing first, helping people find secure housing first so health, family, and other personal matters can then be addressed. Why is that important?
I think that we all want to know that ourselves as well as our family members have a secure and safe place to live and to be able to live our lives in the best, you know, to the best of our abilities. And all the citizens in our communities deserve that right.
What does it mean to have housing first? What comes later?
Well, so the first objective is to provide people a safe and secure roof over their house, a place that they can call home, so they're able to stabilize, settle down, and then address the issues that and challenges that they have in their life based on, you know, when they're ready for it. So, you know, it's not about forcing people to address all their issues before they, you know, before they're able to have a safe place to call home. It's, you know, provide the housing first, and then as people are ready, to be able to offer them the supports and the connections and networks in order to be able to address the issues and become the best that they can be.
Jim Spinelli, Nanaimo Affordable Housing focuses on community development within a staff-supported housing environment. How does that supportive housing actually work?
We think that community is as important as the roof, that the development of a community and giving people not only a place to live but ownership in that community with their fellow tenants. We think that it also helps to stabilize individuals because they have a place to connect to and other individuals to connect to when they want. But it also gives a huge sense of as I say, ownership of your home, different from most rental accommodations or market rental where the focus is just on the tenant and the landlord relationship.
You said ownership within a community. What does it mean to have ownership within a community?
To promote safety and security in a building, it's important that everybody knows everybody. It's one of the things that we try to do whenever we open a new project is make sure that all the tenants know each other, that they have, so that you know if the wrong people are in the building or people that shouldn't be there are in the building. You help to make sure that your neighbor is well and healthy and not having any problems, so they help each other out from time to time. So that's kind of where it all fits together.
Tom Grauman, Columbian Center's vision is a community which values and supports all people, including those with psychiatric disabilities who may have co-occurring addictions. Tell us more about that vision.
Our philosophy is that people want to feel free to access all the resources in a community. They don't want to be confined to a building or a certain part of the city. And for that to be accomplished, we have to reach out to the community. We don't just worry about what goes on in the building itself or on the grounds. So we cultivate relationships with the institutions in Nanaimo, whether they're educational, whether they're recreational, whether they're religious, what have you, and encourage them to participate with us and us with them.
What does it mean to reach out? How do you operationalize that reaching out?
Well, one example is this very radio program that we sponsor in the community. It's an opportunity not to preach at the community, but for the community to have a forum where it considers issues like homelessness. Some of the people who are living that experience sometimes are even on this radio program. We also throw a very large block party in the Diver Lake neighborhood every year, to which we invite 1,200 households. And again, there's no preaching there. We're all just human beings who happen to have something to do with the Diver Lake neighborhood, whether we work there or live there, and we just enjoy each other. So we think that we bring benefit to the community, not just to the individuals who may be housed in one of our residences.
Karen French, the general understanding of low-barrier housing is housing where a minimum number of expectations are placed on people who wish to live there. And low-barrier facilities, I guess you could say, follow a harm reduction philosophy. Tell us more about the low-barrier approach. How does it work?
I think, just quickly, if I could, Kevin, I'm going to go back to what Tom and Jim were just saying, that Pacifica's philosophies align really closely around reaching out into the community. And whenever I talk about the projects, and our goal in our projects is to look at the community within the building itself, because there's a culture and a community that develops within each building and that community, and then as well as connecting with the neighborhood that that building sits in, that immediate neighborhood and that community. And then there's a larger community, and making those connections and networking with what resources and you know, in the larger community. So it's really important for Pacifica in all of our housing, whether it's low barrier supportive housing or the more independent family housing, is to be part of that community and to try and address those three points. Specifically around the low barrier is the focus on, again, the housing first, that that people are, that there aren't a lot of barriers for people to be able to access the housing. So, you know, it's people are not having to abstain from what, if they have substance use issues, they're not having to necessarily be assessed through the health authority with their mental health. It allows for people that fall through the cracks to and have as few barriers as possible for people to access the housing. But keeping in mind that, you know, will be 35 to 40 residents in that particular site, and we have to be respectful for all of the tenants, because they will be tenants. And looking, we're in the business of housing people, and so it's really important to be able to try and find the best housing that matches the needs for that individual, whether it will be this particular building on Uplands or another resource such as the one that the other nonprofits are working on, or something that is already existing in Nanaimo. It's really important to be looking at the particular circumstances for that individual and what will be the best housing solution for them to be successful.
Jim Spinelli, what are your thoughts about low barrier, the concept of a low barrier approach?
I actually, Kevin, don't like the term a low barrier. It first came into use principally around services and shelters, because there were shelters that wherein that refused people because they were inebriated or under the influence or because their behavior didn't fit the pattern. And when you have people that are on the street and connected to the street, it's important that they be able to get into shelter really quickly and to access services. It's unfortunately come into housing, and I find it a little bit of a red herring issue because I've lived in rental housing for 75% of my adult life, my working career, and I've never had a landlord ask me if I drank, if I used drugs, or how I earned my living, or if I had a mental illness. Because in housing, we have a Residential Tenancy Act, and that governs the behavior of landlords, and it governs the behavior of tenants. So it is a barrier to a degree, but those other factors are not issues in housing. If people pay the rent and they behave as good tenants and they respect their neighbors, then they can have a place to live. And if you don't do those things, you end up not having a place to live because that's how the system works. So I really don't like the term. I think it's we don't need to use that term because if housing that we operate is low barrier, then market housing, rental housing, is also low barrier. And maybe people should be more worried about the 140 units of market housing that they're building on Terminal instead of the 40 units that both Karen and I are going to build.
Tom Grauman, what have you observed in terms of low barrier housing in practice in various supportive housing settings?
Well, what I like to say about the examples of housing that exist already in Nanaimo, such as the buildings that Nanaimo Affordable has or the residences that we have, and there would be other examples, is that they fit quite seamlessly into the neighborhoods in which they exist. And it's important to realize that the neighborhoods in which they exist are primarily not the poorest neighborhoods of Nanaimo at all. They're generally middle-class neighborhoods. They've been there for some considerable period of time. There's no outcry whatsoever from the neighbors. In fact, in many cases, they welcome them. And I think the same is true of the kinds of housing that Haven Society also provides. I know that there was a very laudatory article in the Nanaimo Daily News this week about Camas Place that Pacifica Housing opened in this last year in Victoria, along the same lines of how well it has fit into the neighborhood in which it is located.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
BC Housing announced on November 30th, 2011, that a group of four nonprofit organizations had been selected to operate two social housing projects that are slated to be built in Nanaimo. Each of the projects is considered to be a low-barrier facility, and the buildings will be located at 1612 Dufferin Crescent and at 6025 Uplands Drive. The provincial government's housing minister, Rich Coleman, said in the announcement, "I feel strongly that we have the right people developing these sites, and I look forward to seeing positive housing solutions for those in the community that need it most." According to documents from BC Housing, each building will generally include a unit mix consistent with the requirements of the nonprofit service providers, and units will be completed with a kitchen and bathroom. Each building will hold approximately 35 to 40 units and may include amenity or programming spaces and administration offices. Residential and or non-residential uses, such as commercial, retail, or social services, may occupy the ground floor in each building. BC Housing also specified that the buildings would provide a range of environments to accommodate the continuum of need, including low-barrier environments, and be designed to accommodate the service and security needs appropriate to housing of this nature. We're joined on the phone by Karen French, who is Executive Director of Pacifica Housing, and in the studio by Tom Grauman, Executive Director of Columbian Center, and Jim Spinelli, Executive Director of Nanaimo Affordable Housing.
Karen French, Pacifica Housing, will operate the new social housing to be built at 6025 Uplands Drive, a group of neighbors in the area created a protest group to try and stop the facility from being located near them or to stop that type of facility being located there. What can you say to their concerns?
I think having the opportunity for them to meet with them and talk to them about the type of housing, and so that there's a good understanding of the, to allay people's fears. The, I think we're not naive. We're aware of the type of housing that is being proposed there, but we also are very confident in our ability to effectively manage that type of housing, and have demonstrated that in our projects in Victoria, supported housing projects. One of the ones that Tom mentioned, Camas Gardens, is being very well accepted in the neighborhood. And the one response I often get from people is when I'm talking to them about this type of housing, you know, when they were concerned in the Humboldt Valley in Victoria about it, of that type of housing there, was inviting them to drive by or come visit our other sites. And when I gave the addresses, the comments from people were, I drive by there all the time and I never knew it was there. And that is an important, point, is, and it's a piece that is important for us in the design of the building to ensure that we have a positive impact in the neighborhood. And, one of the goals is I want people to walk down the road and say, well, I'd like to buy a condo in that unit or rent a condo. And we truly get phone calls from the public wanting to do just that in a number of our supported housing projects. And the article that was in the Nanaimo Daily Times did, had quotes from some of the neighbors, very positive about the impact that that project has had in their neighborhoods. So it's just about providing people the opportunity to learn more about this type of housing and what the positive impacts can be in their neighborhood, and just to sort of set aside some of their concerns. Yeah, that's the important piece, and developing a relationship, because as I mentioned before, it's really important for Pacifica to be a good neighbor, and we work very diligently around developing the relationships with our neighbors so that we're able to accomplish that.
Jim Spinelli, what are your thoughts about the reactions of residents or neighborhoods to this type of housing being located near them?
I think, unfortunately, that people in this community have not really understood what housing is. They have a fear of concepts of drug abuse. They have fears of criminality. They have various fears, but in reality, what we provide is housing, and it's not much different from any other housing. We always like to focus on that people move in, they live, they have lives, they're all individuals, and many of them aren't particularly interested in interacting with even other people in the community or in the neighborhood, other than to say hello when they walk down the street, because their focus is on their own home and their own life and what they're doing. We've had experienced some opposition when we've built other projects, but very quickly people learn that it is just housing and that it fits into the community. And we've seen, and we like to believe that we improve neighborhoods when we build housing, that we're going to build housing that is of a quality that will be an asset to the community. And we have, for instance, at one of our oldest supportive housing project in Nanaimo that we operate, which is just coming on its 15th birthday, we have, just 3 years ago, there was a condo development built across the street. We have another supportive housing development that is, the back door of our building is about 200 feet from the front door of Pauline O'Hare Elementary School and Caledonian Medical Clinic. So housing just does not have a community impact. So it's very hard in some ways to understand some of the issues that have been raised, because they don't really – they speak about fears, but they don't speak about the people, because that's who we house, is people that have lives.
Tom Grauman, if we move from the reactions of neighbors and neighborhoods and look at the individuals who are actually receiving the supportive housing, what kinds of changes, improvements, or development have you seen among people living within Columbian Center facilities?
I do want to say, first of all, that people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness, and Jim often reminds me of this, find themselves in that situation for a wide variety of reasons. And the common denominator of all these people is that they are poor. Being poor doesn't do them any other favors either. It may exacerbate certain conditions. But I do like to tell the story of a young man who came to Columbian Center a number of years back. His behavior at the time that he came was very difficult to understand. We were patient with him, and he was patient with us. Eventually, this young man started taking courses at VIU, Malaspina at the time, and he started to get very good grades. And in fact, the grades turned out to be straight A's over time, and he was admitted into the law school at the University of Victoria. And in fact, in his first year of law school, he had the highest grades of any law student. This young man is now articling for with one of the largest law firms in Canada. So here is someone who, had you seen him at the time he came to us, would have very easily been written off. And here he has become, in just a very few years, someone that one would all look up to. All of this is possible with people. For some people, that kind of thing doesn't happen. But with the stability of housing and the support that's given to people, they begin to reach their potential. They begin to have meaningful lives. They begin to have a place in the community.
Karen French, we have just a moment or two left in our time for discussion today. What's next for the Uplands Drive development, and is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, currently at this time, we're arranging to meet with some of the direct neighbors, in order to so that they can learn more about Pacifica and what type of housing. And Jim's point, and Tom's as well, is first and foremost, the individuals we're housing are low income singles. And I have worked in the private or in other sort of independent rentals and market rentals, and like Jim, spent much of my life renting, being a renter myself. And, it really isn't different. It is housing, just like the private rental market. The added benefit that we have, though, is being able to have staff on site 24/7 and providing supports so people can reach their potential. And I think Jim, Tom, and I can all tell stories of the wonderful transformation that by providing the housing and then also having the patience and providing the support when that person is ready to be able to accept that support and those networks in the community and the wonderful transformations that it has in their lives. That's, I think, why we do the jobs that we do.
Jim Spinelli, what's next for the Dufferin Crescent development? And do you have anything else you'd like to add in the last moment?
Well, that was really nice words from Karen. But because in our particular project, we have three organizations involved, being Columbian Center and Haven and Nanaimo Affordable. We're working now on trying to put together our plan. We had put in two separate proposals at one time, so now we're trying to combine them. And we think that we will have probably one floor of the building would be particularly for women. So a little bit segregated from the rest of the building. But right now we're starting to talk about how we're going to work together in one facility, in one complex, and starting. This is actually a very long process because we're actually starting to look at who's hiring a architect, because we need to start working with someone around design concepts. And unfortunately, it is not a very quick process. So it's actually – we won't see this housing – probably for a minimum a year and a half, maybe 2 years before it'll be completed. So what we're doing is doing all the things we need to do to plan the project to make sure that it's successful.
Tom Grauman, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Only this. It's been my experience with housing that women are very underrepresented in the housing for reasons that we don't fully understand. They're not encouraged as much. They tend to disappear into the woodwork of the community, and I think to their detriment in many cases. And at the Dufferin site, we are very determined to have the population in our building be representative of the demographics of Nanaimo.
Thanks very much to all three of you for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen French is Executive Director of Pacifica Housing, Tom Grauman is Executive Director of Columbian Center, and Jim Spinelli is the Executive Director of Nanaimo Affordable Housing. You can find out more about housing projects funded by the British Columbia government online at bchousing.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.